Hi, welcome to InChrist Singapore this morning. Blessed Resurrection Sunday to all of you. And thank you for joining us this morning. I'm so happy that you're here with us. And before I go into the Word today, I would like to share some announcements with you. And the first one is that for the next 3 weeks, on Thursdays at 8 p.m., I will be doing a Bible study on faith. So I want to invite you to join us online, and we will be sending some more information on that today after the service. And beside that, I just want to make the emphasis that faith is something that we need, and the Word tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we dwell in the Word, the more we realize the power of faith, the more we can walk in it as well. And registration for that will go through Ruth. Another thing is that since we are not meeting in person, we can still pray together. It's wonderful to hear how many of you are still meeting with your cell groups through Zoom and other ways. But I also want us to pray together as a church for what is happening in the world today, as well for our people, the people in our church as well. So on Tuesday at 7:30 on Zoom, we're going to have a prayer together, 30 minutes prayer together, and I want to welcome you to join with us in that. I also just want to remind us that we have a WhatsApp group that we send out all the information about what is happening in our church during this time and to keep us connected as well. So if you have still not become a part of that group, please send a message through Ruth or contact your cell group leaders, and we will make sure that you get connected with us there as well. But let me pray with us before we share the Word this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you, Jesus, that this Sunday morning we are reminded of everything that you have done for us. Thank you for the cross, Jesus, and thank you for the resurrection. And we just pray that as we come together this morning, that you fill every home, all of our homes, all of our families, God. We pray that your presence comes into our lives this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that because of the cross and the resurrection, you have brought us into a close relationship with you, Lord. And Father, we also just want to pray for the things that are happening right now in relation to COVID-19 in the world, Lord. We pray for all the nations. We pray, Father God, for those that are hurting, for those that are sick, Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you come with your healing, you come with your love, you show yourself mighty among them, Lord. We pray for Singapore this morning, Jesus, that Singapore is taking precautionary measures, Lord, that are necessary. We pray, Jesus, that you continue to give wisdom to the leaders of this nation. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that when it comes to the cases and the clusters, Lord, that we will start to see the numbers go down so that life can go back to normal, Lord. We also pray that you protect our families, our friends, and everyone around us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we go into the Word, we're going to show you a short video.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them it means for us.
What it meant for them, it means for us. Meaning that the same reason the disciples had opportunity to rejoice over the resurrection of their Lord, we today have the same reason to rejoice over that Jesus Christ is risen. So as we celebrate today, we're celebrating something that is so historical, something that can never be taken away from us, something that changed history forever. And no matter what we go through in life, and no matter what will happen in history, it will never be anything that will have changed history in the same manner that Jesus Christ did on that day. And when I think about Resurrection Sunday and dwelling on the fact that Jesus is resurrected, I sense and I feel for all of us there is so much that we have to rejoice over. Because the resurrection and the cross of Jesus, it speaks about the very forgiveness of our sins. But not only have we been forgiven, but in Christ there is redemption. There is Jesus won a great victory over death. Yes, we receive eternal life, which is the greatest gift any one of us could ever receive. But not only that, because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by His stripes we can be healed. Because of Him there is hope for today. Because of what He did for us, we have access to the Father 24/7 of an intimate relationship with Him. So we, who once were far off, have been brought close into the presence of God. So today speaks about the very fact that Jesus is alive and that He wants to work wonders in our lives. He is the miracle God. He is the God that nothing is impossible for. That whatever hopeless situation a person may find themselves in, nothing will ever be too big or too great for God to handle. And as I was preparing for today, I was reminded of a story. And this story is about a preacher and a pastor that had dedicated his life to preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. But one day he caught a flu, and he thought it was just a normal flu, but suddenly he realized that his vocal cords had been infected. So he had to seek so many different options of doctors and all kinds of people to try to figure out a way to get his voice back. He will be able to speak, but it will be very hard to detect what he was trying to say, and he would need to put a lot of effort and energy into speaking. So the very thing that he loved to do, being preaching the word, teaching the word, became the very thing that he couldn't do. So he had to give up his career. He had to give up the job that he loved. And it had been 3 years of fighting and figuring out if there was any way to get his voice back. Because there was like constantly like something was pressing against his vocal cords. And he would need to do everything, give everything he could to just be able to utter some of the words and make himself understandable. So he came to a very dark place in his life where he started to lose the hope in God. His faith became shaky. And he came to a place where he thought he would never be able to preach again, never be able to teach again, and he actually felt like God had abandoned him. But one day, something happened. And it was in his church that one of the Sunday school teachers that knew that he loved to teach and preach asked him to go on stage and preach one of the Sundays, take one of the Sunday school teaching. And they had to make a lot of arrangements so that the people could detect what he was saying. And not feeling very secure, he decided to do it. And for some reason, the material he was supposed to teach on that day came from Psalm 103. where it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgive all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." And as I mentioned before, this preacher and teacher for 3 years had felt like something had been pressing against this vocal cord. He had to give everything, put everything into it to utter the words he wanted to say and make himself understandable. So standing on stage, people had to really listen to hear what he was saying. And when we think about it, this was a man of God that still had lost the faith even that God heals today. And given a text, a passage, as Psalm 103, that says He heals all of your diseases. And as He was speaking, He was full of doubt. But as He came to the words that says, "Who redeems your life from the pit," it was like the very pressure that had been on His vocal cords got lifted. And you know, the church was recording that session. And there is a recording where you can listen to how at the beginning of his sermon or Bible Sunday school teaching, he is struggling to utter the sounds. But then suddenly, as soon as he says, "He redeems your life from the pit," you can hear how his voice starts to clear up. And suddenly there is a healing that takes place in the midst of the people that are listening. And he doesn't know what to do in that moment of time, but starts to be in awe of the wonders of God. And when I hear stories like that, I think this is so much what Easter is about. Because Easter, Resurrection Sunday, speaks about the very fact that Jesus has paid a high price for you and me on the cross. And when He resurrected, something happened that gives you and me hope into every situation that we face. Because it's through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that there is healing for you and me. It's through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that there is salvation, there is forgiveness of sin, and there is restoration for anyone who has fallen. And just as God showed that man such a greatness of grace and compassion, that even though he may have waited 3 years for his miracle, God came with his miracle. And in the midst of his time of weakness and insecurity and even fears, or even coming to the place of feeling like he was losing his faith, God came with his miracles and his goodness and his grace. So Jesus has brought us back to God. He has brought us back into a relationship with him, a relationship of closeness, a relationship of honor, a relationship of dignity. And today, if not any other day, why should we not believe for miracles? Because the greatest miracle that ever has taken place has already taken place through the cross and the resurrection. And the God who is never changing, He will always be the same. Just like He raised Jesus from the dead, just like He raised that preacher and teacher up again, He can raise you and me up again from anything that we're facing at this moment. And there is a passage in Matthew 28 that speaks about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you go there together to Matthew 28, 1 to 10. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like that man. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there you will see me." So we are given this amazing encounter where Mary Magdalene and Mary come to the tomb. And when they come to the tomb, they experience something they had not expected. And that is that, first of all, they encounter the angel. And the angel brings the great news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but they also get to see the resurrected Christ as they go and tell the news to the disciples. But there are two things I want to emphasize from this text today that I believe you and me can take something to be implemented in our lives. Is that the first thing is that the angel says, come and see for yourself. Come and see the empty tomb. See that he is risen. And as they go and tell the disciples, they also encounter Jesus Christ himself. And one thing we need to realize about the resurrection of Jesus is that even though we may not have been living about 2,000 years back, and have had exactly the same encounter as those two ladies. But the resurrection of Jesus and the power of it, God wants us nonetheless to experience that as much in our lives today. And just as the angel says, come and see, look for yourself, I believe God encourages us today, come and see that I am resurrected. Encounter my presence. Encounter my love. Encounter my goodness. See that I am good. See that I am who I say that I am, and that I will do what I have said that I will do. Because the relationship with God that God has intended for us will never be one of just religion, that we just know of him. Somebody has taught us. Somebody has told us. God always intended for each and every one of us to have that own encounter with him. That we will experience him for who he is in our everyday walk with him. That closeness, that presence. And it's because of the resurrection and the cross that we can have that relationship with him. You know, the Bible tells us without the resurrection, our faith will be of no value. The resurrection had to take place so that you and me could be brought into this relationship with our Lord today. And the second thing that I believe is important for us to see from this text is that they are told to go and share the news. That as they have encountered God, as they have encountered his presence, as they have encountered the resurrected Lord, it should not stay with them alone. It should not just be something that they keep to themselves. But the gospel is for others to know about. The good news is good news because it's supposed to be spread. It's not news that is kind of okay or something that, you know, you can't tell people about, but what does it matter? No, the good news is something that actually should be shouted out from the rooftops. And when we look at those two Marys, we find that they go with excitement. Why? Because they had encountered God. And someone that has encountered God will also be excited about telling the news of Him. Because that's what the resurrection, what we celebrate today, God became man. And as He walked the earth, He became one of us. And when the time came and the prophecies were fulfilled, He gave His life and He won and He resurrected and He won power and authority over all the enemy's kingdom. And because of that, there is a salvation for anyone who receives them as their Lord and Savior. And the same way they were willing to share the news, the same earth should be in our hearts. You know, at the beginning of this year, before the break of the virus and we foresee what kind of an influence it would have, as a church, we made it our mandate and something that as our vision for this year, to lead at least one person to the Lord. And I want to encourage us as a church that even though we're not meeting in person, even though we're not meeting in Whole Different Canning on Sundays or coming together in person through cell groups and so on, still we can keep the community going and still we can continue to believe for people to be saved. Because, you know, it may just need one text to send to someone, to encourage someone. The other day, I was texting someone. I just said, I'm praying for you, an unbeliever. I'm praying for you. I hope you're doing well. I pray for God's protection upon your life. We don't need much. Sometimes we overcomplicate it. We think, oh, now I'm locked inside for 24/7. How am I going to reach out to anybody right now? But this is actually the time that the light of Christ should shine even brighter through us. And I hear so many times when I talk to believers that the struggle they have is the fear of sharing about Christ. And you know, all of us, I believe, at some point in our life can experience that fear. Worry, what will people think? Especially people that are maybe older to us, being parents, grandparents, that we have a certain respect for because they have done so much for our lives. But being non-believers is still important that we don't shy away from sharing the good news. And there was one time in my life when I was doing high school in Iceland. And I was supposed to do a talk in one of the class, and it was kind of topics that we could choose ourselves. And I decided to speak about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I decided to speak about my faith and how to share and to share the good news about Him. And it was not a big class, maybe a class about 30, but I remember I was the only believer there. And I remember I had so much, I was so anxious beforehand. I would think through what to say. And the moment I went up there, I could still sense how the boldness of God came in and the words, that how He led the words as well. But afterwards, I remember I was kind of exhausted. I went to one of the bathrooms afterwards, and I just locked myself inside. And I remember my hands were shaking. And I just said to God, you know what? This wasn't easy, but it was still worth it. And as I said those words, I could sense how Jesus would speak back to me. And the words that He said was, dying on the cross was not easy, but it was worth it. And when we think about the death of Jesus, all the pain, everything He went through, everything He endured so that you and me could come back to a restored relationship with God. None of us can ever imagine the suffering He went through. None of us can ever imagine everything that He had to endure. But still, I believe He would do it again. Because it meant to bring humanity back to God. It meant to restore a void that had happened because of sin. That even though he had to endure all that pain, it still was worth it because it brought you and me back to him. And that is what the gospel is all about. It's not about religion. It's not about do's and don'ts. Of course, there are things that we're supposed to do with our life and things that God is speaking to our lives to not do. But if that's all our faith is based on, we're missing the very center and the core of the gospel. That we have come into a relationship with God. That you and me have come close to God. To be with Him, to walk with Him, to hear from Him, to be close to Him. And no matter if you like it or not, there will always be people that minimize the gospel of Jesus Christ. There will always be people that say, well, this is just for you. Or, who do you think you are? Or when we speak about the miracles of God, when we speak about healings, when we speak about the power of God, there will always be people that say, but I don't think that's true. Or try to minimize it so that the gospel becomes something we can comprehend with our mind. But let me tell you something. That's not something that is new. That's something that we see even in the times of Jesus. And we don't have to go much further in the story of the great encounters that we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Matthew 28. But if we continue, we read to verse 10 before. If we continue just to verse 11 to 15. It says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came in the night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So as soon as the good news of the resurrection of our Lord is brought to Jesus' followers, it doesn't take long until the enemy starts to minimize what has happened. As soon as the greatest thing ever to happen in history took place, the devil starts right away through the chief priests, through the religious government, through the religious leaders, to make the resurrection of Jesus Christ into nothing. And they try, and they do that. They bribe the soldiers. They bribe people to keep quiet, to not share the good news. And it even says that this is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Meaning, there will always be people that say, yes, it cannot be true. What God has promised, what God has said, it cannot have happened. He cannot be a healer. He cannot be a miracle maker. There will always be people. As soon as the resurrection of Jesus had taken place, the enemy goes out and he shares lies. But it's so important for you and me as believers to not stop believing in miracles. Because that's the very essence of our God. It's one of those things that is a part of who He is. That He is not someone that only works according to human laws. But He's a miracle-working God. He works wonders. He even raised people from the dead. And I believe as we put our minds on Jesus this morning, that we don't lose sight of who God is and who He wants to be in your life. That He is a God of miracles. He is a God that won a great victory over the power of death. And maybe this morning you find yourself in need of a miracle. But you may also find yourself as the pastor and preacher that I spoke about at the beginning, that you started to lose hope. You started to lose faith. Where is God? But just as He brought miracles into His life, just as Jesus made miracles when He walked this earth, don't lose hope in the fact and faith that He wants to do miracles in your life. Hosea 4 and 6 says, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Why did the devil want to take away and steal the very fact, the truth that Jesus was risen? Because he knew that if he could keep believers ignorant, if he could keep people ignorant, they will not stress out to what it means that Jesus is risen." But the more we know, the more we understand, the more we can live out what the Lord has promised. Galatians 3 and 13 says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" So what does it mean that Jesus died? What does it mean that Jesus resurrected? What do we as believers need to know today in order to not walk in ignorance, in order to not walk in defeat? We need to know that Jesus became a curse for you and me. You know, what were some of the results of the curse of the law? It was sickness. It was poverty. It was eternal death. But here in Galatians, we find that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, and he became a curse for us. That means when Jesus died, that death on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of the law. He took upon himself sicknesses. He took upon himself poverty. And he took upon himself all the sin of the world so we could receive eternal life. But we need to know that he only gives good gifts. That the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he comes to give life and a life of abundance. Meaning he wants it to be well with you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to see his power in your life. He wants you to put, again, your faith in the very fact that he is a miraculous God. And that he works miracles among us. He doesn't want us to lose hope. Even though everything around us may make us feel like we want to lose hope, or we even just may feel overwhelmed, we may feel drained. It's natural to start to feel drained when there's a decision after decision you have to make in relation to your lives right now, and decision after decision you have to make in relation to your work and your families. It's natural to feel drained when you may be stuck at home with your kids 24/7 right now because everybody's being homeschooled. But even in the midst of that, the Lord wants to give you His peace. The Lord wants to give you His rest and His encouragement so that as you go into Monday and the week that is coming, you don't go through it in your own strength and power, but you go through it filled with a hope and faith that the Lord will lead you and guide you, and that the Lord fills you up again with every joy and all the peace that He has for you. Because He took the curse of the law. He took your shame. He took your sin. And when we come to Him in that belief that He is the risen Lord, the resurrection power will be the very thing that He fills your life with this morning. So if we go back to Psalm 103 that I spoke about at the beginning. You know, when David wrote that psalm, he only saw in parts. You know, the experience he had of God was wonderful, and he knew him as his healer. He knew him as someone that saves him from the pit and forgives sins. But still David was under the old covenant, Well, you and me are in the new covenant. And the very words that He speaks are the same words that can be so true into our lives through the eyes of the cross and the resurrection. So we can be confident today that as we praise the Lord, just like Psalm 103 says, I praise you. I praise the Lord, all my soul. And I praise Him because He forgives me my sins. I praise Him because He heals my diseases. I praise Him because He redeems my life from the pit. And not all of us may be experiencing a pit experience right now. But maybe there are some that are listening this morning. And that's exactly where you feel you're at. You feel like you have come to a pit. You feel like you've come to a full stop. But know that the Lord redeems your life from the pit. The Lord heals you. The Lord forgives you. And not only that, the Lord crowns you with love and compassion. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. Let's put our focus on the very fact that He is no longer there in the tomb, in the grave, but He is risen. He is seated in the heavenlies, and He has won a victory that you and me can every day know that because of that victory, we are on the winning team. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father God. Father, I praise you and we worship you this morning. Jesus, just want to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Thank you, Jesus, that whatever things we may be going through at this moment and this time, we praise you and worship you that we don't go through them alone. But Lord, I pray for everyone listening right now. And Lord, together with them, I want Father God to believe with them for miracles. Where there are job situations, maybe someone has lost their job, Lord. I want to believe for them, Lord, that even in the midst of crisis, you are their provider. Father, if there is someone that is having difficulties in their families, Lord, this morning, I want to believe for a miracle with them. And as well for those that are in need of a healing, Lord, I believe with them for miracles in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are still on the throne. Thank you, God, that there is nothing impossible for you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have for us. Amen. Before we end, I also want to take this opportunity, because maybe you are listening and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity right now and right here. As we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, to decide to give your life to Him. Because the Bible says that we have to receive, we have to confess. So as I pray out, I encourage you to repeat that prayer after me and invite Him to become your Lord and Savior. Jesus, I come before you this morning. I ask you to forgive me my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you resurrected. And I invite you into my life right now, right here. I confess you as Lord and I thank you that I am your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed and thank you so much for joining us and look forward to be with you guys again. And enjoy Easter Sunday.